The Workday Replay from Money FM 89.3.
This is Money FM 89.3, Singapore's first business and personal finance station. And in Career 360, we look at the manpower sector here. Also, your career and lifelong learning. Now, Checkpoint Software, the leading cybersecurity vendor, announced it's partnered with Singapore Polytechnic to offer cutting-edge cybersecurity curriculum to students to contribute towards building a new pool of cybersecurity talent. It's pushing the theory from classroom to Korea. To tell us more is Sharat Sinha, Vice President for APEC at Checkpoint Software Technologies. Sharat, thanks for joining us this morning.
Thanks for having me here.
So we know that the cybersecurity industry is plagued by this talent gap. It significantly has more jobs to fill than there are qualified candidates. So talk to us about the genesis of Checkpoint Secure Academy, that particular program.
Checkpoint has been in the business of cybersecurity for more than 25 years. And over years, we have seen the need for cybersecurity has become even more critical for society. And in order to address cyber attacks, which have become sophisticated over years, it's critical that businesses and in different spaces in government, people are well-trained in cybersecurity to address them. And our academy program was started in that context. And it has globally, it's deployed with multiple institutions of higher learning. And that has been the genesis for this.
How will it advance those students from classroom to career, as we mentioned? Talk about how comprehensive the curriculum is.
Yeah. So this is a fairly comprehensive curriculum. It involves right from the base curriculum, which you start, but there's a lot of hands-on training involved. We provide the course details. At the same time, we also provide the software certification associated with that. And since this is a hands-on kind of course, it prepares the professionals to immediately get jobs in cybersecurity industry and become productive for the country or organization that they work for.
Why then the tie-up with Singapore Polytechnic in particular, Sharat?
So it was the interest from Singapore Polytechnic, and we also realized that Singapore is a major global financial center. It's also a technological hub. And therefore, tying up with organizations like Singapore Polytechnic was critical to make sure that we prepare these students be ready for not just jobs, but also contribute towards society.
What sort of criteria must a student have before they can sign on? Because if it were me and I'm just a literature student who's just eyeball deep in languages and refused to touch the computer, I did at that time in secondary school have to go through computer awareness training
right
at that point. It was still DOS and things like that. I'm not sure if you remember, Sharat. But I imagine a certain amount of, tech savvy needs to be involved before someone can sign up. One interest, perhaps.
Yeah, indeed. So, first of all, one requirement was that the institution must be offering some kind of IT course because cybersecurity has become a very integral part of any IT course, whether it's at a polytechnic level or undergraduate or graduate level.
So it'd be an IT student already?
It will be an IT student.
Okay.
At the same time, it can also be offered as an elective for other students because while it's very in-depth for the IT professional or somebody who's specializing in cybersecurity in terms of going through hands-on training, I think pure awareness is absolutely critical as well. So we leave that flexibility with the institution to offer to their students, whether they want to offer it as a mandatory course for the IT courses, but also as an elective for other students who might be studying something else but would like to become aware of cybersecurity.
How possible is it for, say, a literature student to be able to, not a computer science student, for example, be able to pick up and learn these things?
So I would not, for example, say that hands-on kind of training is required for a literature student, but general awareness is very, very critical. Because just to refer to the World Economic Forum, they see cybersecurity as one of the top five threats to society in general. So a general awareness for any course student, whether it's literature or other arts, is critical because you would see this as a subject which is important for society. So high-level awareness, absolutely critical. Hands-on, more relevant for IT professionals.
Right. How dire, though, is the situation with regard to the shortage of cybersecurity professionals, Sharat?
I would say extremely high. If you look at last decade, cyber attacks have become very, very sophisticated. They are more at nationwide attacks. For example, traditionally, wars were fought on land, air, and water. now cyber wars happen.
Yeah.
And the tools for cyber wars are created by different nation states. And unlike traditional tools of war, these become suddenly available to everyone, which means a teenage hacker can potentially get access to those kind of tools and attack something, which essentially means that the readiness has to be at a totally different level. At country level, at organizational level, even at consumer level, you need to be protected from basic attacks. So in that context, it becomes very, very important to have enough cybersecurity professionals to address it. Another data point would be, for example, I'm referring to Forbes. By 2021, worldwide, there'll be a gap of 3.5 million cybersecurity professionals. And in Singapore...
So the need is 3.5 million?
Yeah.
And there won't be.
There won't be. That's the gaps. Even Singapore has actually, even if I look at just next year, as per a PwC report, it's 3,400 professionals will be required who are not there, which means anybody who's trained and has gone through these kind of courses offered by Checkpoint in Singapore Polytechnic, for example, would be heavily in demand.
Mm. What are we going to do in the meantime, though? To meet the gap, because these kids are going to take a few years before they graduate from school, et cetera.
That's right. So in parallel, I think different organizations are training, retraining their people on cybersecurity. We are also making sure that people who are exposed to other areas of IT, they are trained on it, because as organizations embrace cloud computing, for example, as more and more mobile devices proliferate, people need to be aware of different threat vectors which can impact an organization and be prepared for it. So we're training actually a wider set of IT professionals to be ready for it.
How much of this issue is a case of just not enough people versus there are people who maybe are reluctant to enter the space?
So it's a question of not having enough people, because the cyber attack sophistication has actually outpaced the growth of IT.
Exponential, is it?
That's right.
Mm.
So the need has suddenly become more. And just to look at few other data points, right? So a few years ago, you would expect a typical employee to have two devices, maybe a desktop laptop and a mobile device. Today, if I look at Singapore, on an average, people will have five devices on them. You know, if you count...
Count them down for me.
Tablets, mobile devices, home device, something used in the enterprise space. You have wearables as well. And pretty soon, if you look at next few years, it's going to be 50 devices per person as IoT comes into play. Once your air conditioners and your lighting devices, everything becomes IP-enabled,
so
IoT,
yeah,
right? Internet of Things. So once you have 50 devices, the threat surface suddenly goes very, very large. So the only approach you can take in such situations is to have a prevention-based approach. You can't expect to detect and remediate, because on an average, once an organization gets impacted by an attack, it takes 10 minutes to proliferate within the enterprise, paralyzing everything. So you have to take a prevention-based approach, which essentially means you need cybersecurity professionals who can design, maintain, and in the event of a breach, quickly remediate it.
Speed, yeah.
Speed is the key.
Might there be a white hacking course in the curriculum?
So
just
that,
to stay two steps ahead instead of just always be on the defensive, right?
That's right. So these courses are meant for white hat people. These are people who would actually protect against any of the black hat activities.
Right. What more do you think needs to be done? So we're trying to get the kids up to speed so that they have, and they will, guaranteed to have a job actually once they graduate, that is. What else do you think can be done?
I think training enablement is absolutely critical, but more importantly, deployment of latest technology, which takes a prevention-based across all kind of vectors which can enter an enterprise.
But technology development also takes a wee bit of time, Sharon.
That's right.
Yeah.
But it's a global industry. And the good news is that globally, many companies like Checkpoint, we are developing technologies which take prevention-based approach and make sure that whether it's at government level, enterprise level, or consumer level, we create an infrastructure which is safeguards people from cyber attacks.
Are there concerns, though, that perhaps whatever is being taught to the kids now may be irrelevant in as quick as, I don't know, a couple of weeks if a black hat happens to come up with a better way?
The good part of this industry is that you have to constantly keep yourself updated.
Everyone
which means,
does,
yeah,
right?
Once you get trained, you just prepare yourself to enter the industry. But at the same time, you have to constantly be aware of the kind of threats that are appearing, the technologies that are appearing to address them, and also be creative, because depending on the needs of an organization or a government institution, You have to make sure that in an agile way, you create something which protects the organization. So it's a field of constant learning. The good news is, if you get into this profession, you have a job for your life.
Sharat, how do you think on a personal level you've been able to keep up with what's happening, say, in your space today at where you work? Because I think when we were kids, the newspaper was thrown to the door for us.
Right.
When we had to research for a school project, it'd be heading to the dusty library to flip through multi books.
Right.
But it's so different today.
That's right. I mean, these days you get ebooks, you're constantly downloading information, you're uploading information, you're sharing information. The world is more connected than ever before. What has changed the last few years is that there are non-humans now in the network. You have bots and other things getting involved, which essentially means then once again, it goes back to creating a safe infrastructure. So there's a significant change. And when it comes to technology, you have to constantly keep yourself updated.
How do you do that, though? How much time do you spend, you reckon, a day?
Reading people. Yeah. I would say at least one-fifth of my time is constantly learning. And in this industry, if you have to stay relevant,
it's
you have to
must.
Constantly keep yourself educated.
Personally, do you think T2's Skynet will ever happen?
Anything is possible, right?
Oh, come on.
You have to stay prepared.
Oh, no. Just from the tech fearfulness that I come from, Checkpoint.com is where you can find them. Checkpoint.com. Sharat Sinha is Vice President, APEC at Checkpoint Software Technologies. Sharat, thanks so much for coming today.
Thanks, Avi.
To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at moneyfm893.sg or download the SPH radio app available on Google Play or the App Store.